There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Friday. Sure glad to have you along. Live local talk this hour. Phone number, text line open for you at 343-0106. Representative Chris Pringle, candidate for AL1, is going to join us in just a second to talk about the GIRL Act that we were talking about yesterday and this morning. He's in studio. We'll be talking about that in just a minute. First, though, let's check in with our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, for the latest on severe weather potential for tomorrow. Hey, Doc.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Afternoon. And so where do we stand now? Let's, I guess, even start with today. As people are wondering with the clouds out there, are we going to start getting rain today, or is this all happening tomorrow?
Well, we're seeing rain right now develop all across Mississippi and from the coast all the way up through southeast Mississippi. That's just the beginning of what will be a kind of a rainy period over the next few days. This rain will be affecting us this afternoon and on into the evening hours, mainly in the form of showers. And the rain that we're most concerned with and is well to the west of us now as a storm system moves out of Texas and across Arkansas. There's rain out in that area, and that will be the precipitation that will affect us tomorrow. So we can look for showers this afternoon and tonight. And then tomorrow, a cold front will be moving across Mississippi and into Alabama in the afternoon. Will affect us late in the afternoon tomorrow. It will be preceded by showers and a few thunderstorms, and some of those thunderstorms could be severe, particularly anywhere from the mid-morning hours and on through mid-afternoon. And then a line of thunderstorms is expected to form along the cold front. And that will come in the afternoon, most likely the mid-hours of the afternoon. And there could be some severe activity along that front. So as far as being affected by severe weather, mainly from, say, 9 o'clock on to about 3 o'clock in the afternoon tomorrow. So 9 a.m. to about 3 in the afternoon tomorrow is when we expect quite a bit of severe thunderstorm activity, not only here, but also upstate.
All right, so you're active. We're looking for the active severe weather in that window, severe thunderstorms. But what about the T word? That's what people are already asking about. Tornadic activity. Or what do you expect from this?
Well, that's a possible situation. We may see a tornado or two develop in southwest Alabama tomorrow with some of these very strong thunderstorms. It's also going to be the case up through central and even northern Alabama tomorrow. And that's where it would be most likely situation for tornadoes would be over in the central portion of the state. But the conditions in the upper atmosphere will be favorable for the severe thunderstorms and possible tornadoes down in our area tomorrow.
All right. So, and then, of course, you say it comes back on us as a warm front, and we have rain pretty much next week?
Yeah, this is amazing. With the front will come through late tomorrow. We'll start to see an improvement through Saturday evening. We'll cool down a little bit into the 40s. And Sunday will start out pretty good. Still a few scattered showers around, but then rain comes back in Sunday night. The same front that will go through tomorrow will come back on us as a warm front Sunday night. And we're in for rain on Monday and on into Tuesday. So for the next several days, we've got rain in the forecast.
Dr. Bill, I don't appreciate the information in it, but I appreciate the update from you. Thank you.
Okay, Sean.
All right. Our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, keeping his eye on the severe weather potential going forward. And there's no way to sugarcoat it. Tomorrow, just not a great day to get out. Although this man has spent enough time here as of late, I'm sure, canvassing AL1, that maybe a day at home could benefit you. Representative Chris Pringle joins us in studio. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for coming in. And so we started talking about you yesterday in earnest about this Girl Act, and then this morning talk about it. I'm getting plenty of people calling and texting in about it. So tell folks, first of all, the Girl Act. What? Give me the acronym, because the acronym is a catchy one here. What is it? What does the acronym represent?
It stands for Gender Is Real Legislation.
Okay.
And it gets back to gender's a real thing. It's, you cannot deny the science of gender.
Right.
And you know what's happened is I've traveled around meeting with constituents over the last couple of months. This is a concern a lot of parents have about their student athletes, their children being out competing and having somebody that was born a male and grew up with testosterone in their system that developed the muscle and the bone structure, all of a sudden trying to come compete against their daughters as a female.
You know, this is something I see that even bridges the regular political spectrums.
Yeah.
Because I've seen people that are Democrats or people that say I'm generally liberal and I don't really care about, you know, like to limit anybody who's transgender. I'm pro whatever it is, but this is not right, and this is just unscientific. I mean, we're trying to pretend something, at least the way I see it, is true that is not true.
Gender is real. It's just that simple.
And in other states where this has not been addressed beforehand, I was looking at Connecticut. Two or three of the records in women's or girls' track and field are held by a male who identifies now as a female, a transgender female.
I just laugh because, you know, the liberal Democrats are constantly accusing people like me and you of not refusing to accept science. Well, gender scientific.
Mm-hmm.
It is a real, you know, you either are born, you know, you have a male or a female. And if you've born a male and you have testosterone in your body, you know, you've grown up with that. And this is only for high school students. What happens after high school is not addressed in this bill.
Well, and there's somebody's going to come out with this and say, you know, this woman right here is Ronda Rousey or somebody. Yeah, she could beat up this guy or that guy. And yes, there are outliers of women that are stronger than men, but everything I've looked at, speaking of science, by and large, day in and day out, boy of a certain age, girl of a certain age, once they get to it, the boys are stronger. I mean, it just is what it is.
If Ronda Rousey
doesn't mean better, it just means stronger.
If she wants to fight a male, let her fight him.
Yeah.
I'm not preventing that at all.
And that's what I wanted to get into, because people then said, well, what does Representative Pringle think if a girl wants to kick for a football team? Or what does he think if a girl wants to get on, you know, they don't have enough boys and a girl gets on a boys' soccer team? Are you trying to stop that?
Not at all. If it's a co-ed sport, and we've already had that occur in the state of Alabama, there's no problem with it. This bill is just common sense. It's just flat common sense that if a girl, somebody born a girl competes as a girl, somebody born as a male competes as a male. And it's just basic common sense to people. And I'm not trying to prevent if a girl wants to, you know, participate in
right,
a male dominated
the old
sport.
You know, the yeah, stories we've heard, they're not old stories, they're new stories and old stories. You have a female, a girl who's a great kicker, and she gets on the boys' football team and she's a kicker and they work with that. You're not going to, this law is not going to stop that.
Not at all. I'm not trying. All I'm trying to do is ensure fair competition among student athletes, particularly in like track and field and those individual events where I think somebody born a male that has testosterone in their system has an enhanced performance capability in those type of sports.
You know, I worry about this too for being a disincentive. And like I said, we haven't had the issues yet here in Alabama like they have had in other states. But I have a daughter, teenage daughter. You want them involved in sports. I can only imagine if the situation there was just somebody there that was going to compete in girls' sports there that was just that much better than everybody else. And you knew no matter how hard you worked, you might not be able to be the top track time or the highest pole vault or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you'd be the best. You could be the best gender female yeah, at it, and you still wouldn't be able to be the top of the team.
Exactly. Because somebody else stepped in from a different gender.
So in this, and we're running a break here for a second, but when I come back, I was talking about bringing this, you know, session starts here, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
three weeks. Yeah. Get into session in Montgomery. How you present something like this, I'm sure you've heard from fellow legislators already on this.
I've got a whole bunch that want to be co-sponsors.
That's where I was going. How many people are saying, hey, can I be on this?
So far, everyone I've talked to is for it. I'm going to have to open the machine up for co-sponsors.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Something that Montgomery gets that kind of traction. Coming right back, more with Congressman Chris Pringle, candidate for AL1 Congress. We'll talk more about his campaign for that as well. And the GIRL Act, you got comments, you got questions. I get them on the text line right here, and we'll ask them of Chris when we return.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 on this Friday edition of Midday Mobile. Guest in studio, Representative Chris Pringle, candidate for AL1. I want to talk about that some, but before we do, this is a pretty new thing here as you bring the GIRL Act, and this is something that it's not that you're not getting attention in Montgomery. It sounds like the opposite. You're going to have to make room. Everybody wants to co-sponsor this bill.
Exactly.
That says a lot.
It's a good bill. It kind of brings a universally fair policy to athletic competition in the state of Alabama. Which we need, because the Alabama High School Athletic Association doesn't address this issue. So we need to put a policy in that's universally fair to everybody.
Because even if somebody is listening says, well, we shouldn't have to deal with all that. Well, you're going to eventually that situation is going to happen here. It's happened in plenty of other states.
Exactly. And this bill is being introduced in other states also.
Is it similar to it? Yeah, because I looked around and some of them, I don't know the right term. I would say that it doesn't have. It's a clean. This bill is just really direct and factual and doesn't even get into commentary. It's just what it is.
I wanted a good, clean, simple bill to address an issue that concerns people out there in the first district, all over the state of Alabama. In fact, this is a concern of parents, you know, who have students that are participating in athletic events all over the state.
Looking at text coming in here, I think I always will find the one that's maybe different from the other ones. But this one here says, I'm a conservative gay male in Mobile, and you are 100% correct about athletics and athletics department. Men who used to be men do not belong in women's sports. I mean, it's a word that keeps coming up in this. I couldn't talk about your bill yesterday or this morning without using the word fair.
Yeah, it's just common sense, and it's a fair approach to the issue.
You know, I wonder the unintended or maybe intended consequence, but I would say unintended. You have males, transgender females, get into these girls' sports, and it's got to be, at a certain level, a disincentive for young ladies to get into high school athletics.
Exactly. I mean, if you spend your entire high school career training to be the best athlete you can be, and you know that your senior years you're about to set your personal best records and potentially get a full ride scholarship,
mm-hmm.
and then you wind up losing because somebody that was born a male that grew up with testosterone in their system decides their senior year they want to transition, they want to then identify as a female and come compete against you, so you lose.
And that's the science of it. You started off talking about the science of it, whether people like it or not. This is not just opinion or I feel or this. Science will show us that testosterone in the growing years here, whenever, even if down the road I've seen that transgender female decide to start taking estrogen or whatever, those developing years with testosterone, they do something to the frame, they do something to the strength that gives an advantage that without it they would never have.
Your bones and your muscle structure are developed with testosterone.
It's just
that simple.
It's just science.
Yeah, I mean, it's gender is real. Gender programs our body.
So in this legislation, it sounds like will be adopted, move quickly in the House, and then I'm sure in the Senate as well. This goes into law. What is this? And like, explain to me in my Sullivanese here. What is this going to look like to the Alabama High School Athletic Association? What does this change? How does it? Does it then give a policy, or do they take the law of the state?
Yeah, they take the law of the state.
Okay,
it becomes law of the state. They just don't have a policy to address this,
so they'll defer to this.
Yeah, exactly, and it'll Normally, these upon an enactment of the legislature and signature of the governor, they become effect, you know, 60 days later, 90 days later, whenever you write it into the bill.
All right.
And sometimes they're immediate. So.
Okay, that's what I
said. Sometimes it's instantaneous.
Because there's a lot of stuff that happens up there that we got to wait for. But this is that's not a rule.
This one can be exact. The day it's signed by the governor, it becomes law.
So you got 3 weeks till session starts.
Yeah, we're getting busy.
Just to pick your brain on this, because at the end of last session, we talked about prisons and whether there'd be a special session for prisons after, you know, sometime in the summertime, and that didn't happen. Then it was maybe going to be in late summer. And then I heard then it might be a special session, like gavel in like last year, and then go into special. Then I hear it might not happen that way either. What are you hearing? Somebody actually has a job there. What are y'all going to do?
I'm hearing the same things you're hearing.
You had some more.
I know Cam Ward, Senator Ward's working very hard on this issue. It's a very complicated issue. Plus, you have the lawsuits that's going on.
Right.
Also, you know, you've got a federal judge, and then you've got us trying to pass legislation and trying to come up with funding. And then you've got the politics of, you know, certain members don't want the prison and their district shut down because it's jobs.
That's a lot of jobs, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then some people don't want a prison in their district. So it's very political where you build prisons and how you handle them.
But they haven't told y'all whether there's going to be some sort of special or not.
No. And I was with the speaker Wednesday.
Okay. That's about as close to it as I can get. Let's talk about your campaign for AL1.
It's going great. I'm excited. I'm out there. I'm meeting the public, shaking hands. And I'm very enthused about the response I get all over the 1st Congressional District. And I've got a clear path to victory. I'm planning on taking that path and being the next congressman from the 1st Congressional District.
I'm going to ask you this. I've known you a long time. You look up to Washington. What's going on? What do you want with that up there? Look at the last 3 or 4 months up there from October on.
I'm not pleased with what's going on in Washington, but in order to fix Washington, you've got to send good people up there. You've got to send somebody like me that can go to Washington and hit the ground running, that knows what they're doing and knows how to get the job done. I mean, you remember I helped Sonny Callahan set his office up. I've worked for a member of Congress who first came up and started, you know, opening an office and doing what you have to do in order to get the committee assignments and the leadership roles that are so necessary to be successful.
You know, it's good to hear you talk about that, because that's one of the things I think people talk about, sending new blood to Washington, and that's a great thing. But for AL1, it's very important. Committee assignments, I've watched it just over, you know, the last couple of decades. And committee assignments are a really important part of this for us. And I'm sure all districts would say that, but I see it as being super important for us on a couple different levels.
Oh, exactly. I mean, it means everything to you. That's the reason why I'm so excited about being supported by, you know, Congressman Mike Rogers and Congresswoman Martha Roby and Congressman Adderholt, because they can help me with the leadership to get the type of the committee assignments that are beneficial to Southwest Alabama.
Yeah, we got some. I mean, you think about, and those are a bunch of them. You can think about military, you can think about defense, you think about ag, you talk about fisheries, you talk about...
Exactly. I mean, people forget what a large Coast Guard contingency we have. I mean, we've got Austell. Military is very important. Agriculture in Southwest Alabama, the fisheries, I mean... You know, I'm on the Gulf States Marine Fisheries Council, so, you know, I understand how important it is for us to regulate the marine fisheries at the local level here along the Gulf Coast and not let the people in Washington tell us what our catch limits should be. We should be doing that because we know what's in the Gulf better than they do.
You know, that's the part. It's like this dichotomy up there. There's the main narrative that drives talk radio and drives the cable news networks. It's the back and forth between the Democrats and the Republicans in the House. It is the overarching things. It's foreign policy. It's tax policy. It's these kind of things. But day in and day out, you just mentioned it. I mean, your job as a representative are to these things that make AL1.
The job is to represent the people back home, to make sure that you represent their best needs, their interests, and protect them. And, you know, everybody talks about how we're going to vote, but so much of what a member of Congress does is constituent service work to help constituents with problems, but to work with other elected officials around the district to help, you know, do industrial recruitment and do these economic development projects and help draw down the federal funds that we need for our infrastructure. And that's the job. It's not just going on the floor and voting. It's much larger than that.
Did you think you could mention federal funds and infrastructure and not get me to say, so what about I-10 moving forward in the bridge project and tolls.
Well, we need a bridge.
Yes.
We're going to deepen and widen the ship channel. That's happening. And when those Panex ships come into this port, they're not unloading one or two containers.
Right.
There are thousands of containers that are going to come off that ship onto the docks. They have to dissipate. We have to have the infrastructure to move those containers into the heartland of this country. And so we have to have a bridge. We're bottlenecked here. But that's a U.S. highway. That is a federal highway. It runs from coast to coast. And I was totally opposed to that toll. You cannot make the people in Mobile, Alabama pay to fix an interstate problem.
But like you said, you're in full commitment to saying we need to fix the bottleneck.
Oh yes, we have to fix it. I mean, we have to have a bridge, and I'll work tirelessly to ensure that we get the funds we need to build a bridge over I-10 and fix our bottleneck problem.
And it seems like if you're making that case, you just said those ships offload, and you said here go those containers that around the country. So it is not just a Mobile Baldwin County AL1 issue.
No,
wherever those things are going, and the big companies are bringing it in here.
With deepening and widening our ship channel, we potentially could go to the sixth largest port in the United States of America. Did you know that?
Yeah, massive change.
Huge. And look what's going on with Airbus right now. They're ramping up production. They bring a third assembly line on, which there's a potential they might. They're going to start manufacturing those planes, not just assembling them. And,
right. Awesome. And right now it looks like, and talking to Congressman Byrne in the last segment, he said, the situation right now with the tariffs that everybody's talking about is actually to our benefit here, because Airbus can assemble, instead of building those A320s and 220s in Toulouse or Hamburg, they bring the parts over here and assemble them here and avoid the tariffs.
Bingo.
And jobs coming in here.
Yeah. But if they start building them here, we don't have to worry about it.
It's true.
This is the potential that we have for economic growth and development with Airbus is almost unlimited, because it brings other jobs. Ancillary companies will come in and help and fill in and start creating more jobs here in the district.
All right. I'm up against the news break. Can you hang on?
All right.
We'll continue this when we come back. And your questions, welcome at 343-0106 on the text line, but love to hear your voice as well. 343-0106, our guest in the studio, Representative Chris Pringle, candidate for AL1.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Friday. No way to sugarcoat it. Tomorrow, tough weather-wise. Some of those showers coming in this afternoon, but nothing like it looks like tomorrow. Window from about 9 in the morning to about 4 or 5 in the afternoon. Of course, Mobile County, western parts of the listening area, we get it first and then makes its way on into northwest Florida. We'll keep you up to date with Dr. Bill's forecast throughout the afternoon, evening, and during the day tomorrow. Speaking of which, so we have been, of course, talking about the basketball game for tomorrow that was slated. This is welcome to my world. Slated for 5 o'clock. All right, so Auburn, the tip-off was going to be at 5 tomorrow afternoon. But then I get this note. It says, due to the threat of severe weather, tomorrow's Auburn basketball game time has been changed from 5 to 11 a.m. Central Time. So we have done all the stuff and moved all the stuff and rewired the stuff, and Auburn hoops will start tomorrow at 11 o'clock here at FM Talk 106.5. So program note, it's decided by those folks in Auburn. They're making that call because of the severe weather. And so the game starts 11, not 5 tomorrow. So tell your friends, all right? So now you know. All right, guest in studio, Representative Chris Pringle, candidate for AL1. And read through a couple of these texts here. First person, I'm just going to paraphrase this where I can go back. They're asking, isn't this already addressed in federal law? Meaning, I guess, going back to the first subject we talked about, your GIRL Act and making sure that only female gender folks compete in female sports. Isn't this already addressed?
No, not that I'm aware of. It's not. It's the different states are coming up with their own.
Okay.
How they're going to deal with it. And Alabama's never addressed it, so this is my way of making sure the state of Alabama addresses it.
look what happened. I mean, there's states out there that didn't address it, and all of a sudden it was there, and they had no law.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if people didn't catch it earlier, once again, your act says what? Just like, here's the quick version of what this legislation would do.
All it says is you will compete in high school athletic association competitions under the gender that you were on your birth certificate.
There you go.
It's just that simple. If you were born a boy and grew up as a boy, and you know, then you're going to participate, and particularly, you know, unless the athletic event is already co-ed, then there's no problem.
Right, you said, and you're not trying to, because I see this, people saying, well, what about situations where they've got these young ladies, these girls that want to kick for a football team, and the coaches say that, I mean, you're not trying to...
No, not at all. Not at all.
Because at that point, you're still, you're there as a female, happen to be kicking on the football team, but you're there as a female.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see, this one... my question for Representative Pringle is, will there be a provision in his GIRL Act that will make provisions for transgender athletes to have their own locker rooms or showers by themselves?
Not in my act.
Okay.
That will be up to the local school board and the state board of education.
Okay, so you're not getting it, because that's always what ends up, you know, people go round and round, start talking about this. You're not telling schools how to do their bathrooms, the showers.
Nothing. I'm just, it's the competition. I'm trying to make sure that we have fair and equitable competition for our high school athletics.
All right. And we'll take some more questions on that. Some of these are kind of the same question. Let's see. This person says, I hear what you're saying about the GIRL Act, but my daughter was on a girls' soccer team a few years back, and another team from across the bay had a girl on their team that was transitioning to a boy and was already doing the hormone therapy, and she was physically bigger muscle-wise and had been working out in the gym with the boys, and was told she could... Oh, my gosh, this is like a tome here. She told she could not be on the boys' team. Point is, she was the only person on the other team that did the scoring. She scored 8 or 9 goals for the match. They need to take into account for issues that give females an upper hand over other females in that sport. If they undergo the hormone therapy, then they should be allowed to play with the boys. I guess this person's saying, if it's usually the other way, but this is a female transitioning to a boy, so she's taking testosterone.
Yes, which is enhancing her performance.
Which I wonder about that. And somebody was joking earlier, are you saying that testosterone, when we're talking about it, is a performance-enhancing chemical? But at a certain point, the kids in athletics can't take other drugs that aren't in their system. They can't add to their...
Exactly. You cannot take performance-enhancing drugs. And testosterone increases muscle mass. This is just...
You see, but this is what... This is like you have a... And I looked at some of the other bills being brought around the country. Yours is the cleanest, most defined, but immediately it already... People try to say, well, does it mean this, that, and the other? To you, it means...
If you were born a boy, you play on boys' sports.
Okay.
You play as a boy. If you were born a girl, you participate as a girl. In high school,
I can understand
what you do after high school or in college is a different story. After you turn 18 and go off, that's a different story.
You're addressing what happens in high school and middle school sports.
Exactly. I'm trying to keep the playing field level for everybody to play, you know, have fair competition.
All right. Let's talk a little bit more about now the campaign here for AL1. And you said you talked about going up there, and we talked about being on committees and the importance of committees. And it is interesting when you, and I know there are probably other districts in the country where this applies, but you could on one hand, as Congressman for AL1, be dealing with military issues and contracting, international trade with an Airbus, and red snapper regulation, and forestry issues.
Yeah.
And that would just be, that's all pretty AL1 kind of stuff.
Exactly, exactly. But just take, for instance, the military issues.
Okay.
All right. You've got a group in Washington, the Liberal Democrats, that don't believe in a strong military. Well, it's important to us in Southwest Alabama to not only have a strong military. I agree with President Trump through peace through strength, and he's proven it in his last, you know, in Iran. We have to have a strong military. And the Liberal Democrats, you need somebody up there that's going to go toe-to-toe with them and say, no, I support a strong military. I support, you know, all steel shipbuilding. Those ships help protect us all over the world. And it's important. Our Coast Guard is a military base. We need to have protection here to stop the drugs that are trying to come into this country. People forget how important the Coast Guard is to drug eradication and keeping our coastline safe.
How would you have voted for that War Powers Act?
I would have voted no.
Okay, let's run to the phones, and let's go to Kevin in Mobile. You're on with Representative Pringle. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how y'all doing today? Representative Pringle, I appreciate, you know, I've looked a little bit into your legislative act that you put up there, and I think it's good. You know, what somebody wants to believe they are, that's totally up to them. But, you know, if you're biologically born a boy or a girl, you should participate in those sports and athletics, and that's just the way it is right there. So, you know, people can think what they are, but you are what you are. But, you know, the other thing is, I wish somebody would also put this up too. We need to put a act back up for prayer in school. Let's see how far that goes there, because I think we brought a lot of that back into the school, we wouldn't have a lot of these problems right now. That's my opinion on it there, but I do appreciate you stepping up on this act.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, and I totally agree with prayer on school. And I'd support any bill that provides for that. And we do the best we can to try and get prayer back into our schools and bring a little more discipline in.
This on the text line, too, has started into like a science discussion, which is good, but it says, anyone that wants to take 30 minutes research this on Google will understand that testosterone is the key factor here. Anyone who takes testosterone or any biological male will always hold a physical advantage.
Exactly.
Except I am open to the fact that before you start typing the outliers, yes, Ronda Rousey from MMA, there's plenty of guys that she could whip their butt. But day in and day out, regular male, regular female, doesn't mean they're better, but regular males are stronger.
Exactly. It's gender. It's biology. This is real.
So this is going to be something that you have, you're taking, obviously, and obviously you're just going to have to limit the number of people who get to be co-sponsors on this in Montgomery. but this is, it sounds like something that will have traction, and do you see Governor Kay Ivey signing this?
I can't imagine the governor not signing it. I mean, this is the way God intended us to be.
All right. Well, people want to get more information about the GIRL Act, about your run here for AL1. Where do they go online?
PringleForCongress.com. You can find out everything you want to know about me and sign up and help me with my campaign, and I'd greatly appreciate it.
All right. Special rain tomorrow. Maybe you could take a little bit of a break from your schedule.
We'll find something to do.
There you go. I know you will. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Coming right back, Ed Rowan joins us here on Midday Mobile on this Friday. Remember, online, FMTalk1065.com.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, my buddy Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino back in studio. Welcome back.
Thanks, Sean. Good to be here.
Hey, and Happy New Year to you.
You as well.
We were just talking about this last time you were in. We were talking about the Christmas holiday and New Year's holiday and people out driving impaired. You warned them, number one, not to do it because it could hurt somebody. Number two, when you hurt somebody out there, you're coming after them.
So that's what we do at our firm is, you know, just like I did in the Marine Corps with attention to detail and just an aggressive pursuit of whatever we're doing, we certainly do that in our firm. We pay attention to small, minute details, and we're going to find out what you're doing. So if you have a driver out there that was doing the wrong thing, whether they were drinking and driving, they were hauling tail, going way faster than they should have, they were texting and driving, through technology, we do this at our firm. It can be expensive to do, but it can be invaluable to prove our client's case, and we do it almost every time if we have the chance. And the two things that we do are we can download the computer that is on board a car. It's called the EDR, or electronic data recorder, and that'll tell everything the car was doing, the speed, the braking, whether it was turning, the blinkers, all that for 60 seconds before the wreck. We can download every single thing you were doing on your cell phone, all your texts. We can see what screens you were on, if you were magnifying a screen, you know, how long you were on certain screens. And even if you delete that screen or delete those text messages or try to delete it, we can find it. You can't hide it on a computer. It's really amazing what you can do. So if I can get a hold of a case quick enough, you know, before this evidence is lost, then I can pretty much just hammer the other side with these two forms of evidence, you know, of gathering evidence to take from a technology standpoint.
So, I mean, y'all aren't just you know, well-versed in the law and how it works. Y'all are kind of on the tech side here. I mean, you've got people at Taylor Martino that are figuring out stuff, decoding what is out there, because there's a lot of people that could be hitting a wreck or something, and the person hits, well, I wasn't speeding, I wasn't distracted, I wasn't texting.
Sure. Well, I mean, the first part of what we do is primarily, you know, investigative, you know, from a law enforcement type standpoint. Now, we don't have, you know, everything that law enforcement has. You know, we, you know, just like you and I, when we go hunting, we don't have everything the military has.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So, but we have a lot of things, and we're getting more and more things. You know, the ability to you know, to find out exactly what a car was doing for 60 seconds, and the ability to find out everything you were doing on your cell phone. Can you imagine, you know, if you do something wrong, okay, and we have that data. I know what you're doing on your cell phone. I know exactly what you were doing in your car, how fast you were going, when you braked, whether you put on a blinker, all of those things. You're going to be in trouble, okay, when you come up against my firm.
Things that make y'all different is that attention to detail. You've talked about it before, but I've always thought about it in attention to detail in a meeting with you in your office or something like that. But it's kind of forensic attention to detail as well.
These things take time. They take money. But when you're talking about representing a client well, if you have a resource out there, you should use it. And I don't think a lot of firms do the things that we do. And the case can be won or lost in that first couple of weeks when you get it. So when you first get a case, you have to just take off like a racehorse, get all the information that you can. And that's what we do. We pursue it with a passion. We pursue it with diligence. And, you know, we just, it's fun, really, finding out what people did. I want to find out what they did. And I really relish in that. My whole firm does.
Well, the fact that y'all are doing this and have done it, it gives me extra confidence in the fact that y'all are pretty good at finding this stuff. It's not your first rodeo when you go to look at this information.
No, so what's going to happen is, if you come into my office, and then if we have a suspicion that, you know, there was speeding or anything that the other driver did that we want to hammer down, we want to find out about, if there's a suspicion about any type of cell phone use, and we've done this long enough to where I know if that's is something that we need to look at, we're going to immediately send a letter to the at-fault party, and that at-fault party is going to get a professional but stern and probably a little scary letter from me saying, okay, do not destroy any evidence. We're going to download the data from your car, and we're going to download all the data from your cell phone, so you better keep that. And if you don't, and then we'll find out about obviously.
What if somebody just takes your cell phone and starts deleting where they were texting or something like that?
We can find out that you deleted it. We can find out that there was a text, and we can find out that when you deleted it. So if you deleted it after I send that letter, okay, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to start deleting everything.
Yeah.
When we get into a court of law, the judge is going to hammer you for doing that. What he's going to do is he's going to tell a jury that that the jury should assume whatever was on that phone that was deleted, or whatever evidence was destroyed, the jury should assume that it was as bad as it could be against the other side. And
y'all. That's a judge telling the jury that.
A judge is going to tell them that. And I wouldn't want to represent a person who the other side has proven that party has destroyed evidence. It's a really embarrassing thing. But when it happens to my client, basically, you know, they've done something wrong, and now they're lying about it.
Yeah.
My mercy is waning at that point.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I can have some mercy when a person, you know, comes clean and says, I did this. But when they did something wrong, and I know they've done something wrong, and then they lie about it and they try to hide about it, that gets my dander up a little bit. And, you know, I'm still professional all the time, but I get really, really motivated to go after that person.
You're probably bringing in people's ears right now that said, hey, you know what, I was in a wreck that time, and the guy was completely lying about what happened.
Well, and you know, human beings – Really, they do. I'm telling you, they think that people are going to be good. They think everything's going to work out. It's going to be okay. But I can tell you that a lot of times I get cases that are 3 months old, 6 months old, the first time that they come to a lawyer because they don't like coming to a plaintiff's lawyer right. like myself. It's, you know, I'm not like that. My morals and my faith isn't like that. So they say, you know, I've waited. And a lot of times evidence can be lost. And so that's tragic. But you can think it's going to be okay, but if you don't protect yourself, then you're setting yourself up for failure.
So God forbid this ever happens, but if it does and we're in that situation, the earlier we contact you, the better chance you have of getting all this information you just laid out, kind of the forensic stuff.
Sure. It's just like if you think the police would be very effective if they investigated a homicide a month after it happened.
Right.
No, as soon as it happens, they're there on the scene right afterwards because they've got to gather certain evidence. I mean, it's, you know, a criminal case and a civil case. I mean, they're still cases, you know, in a court of law, and you've got to gather evidence. So the sooner, the quicker we can gather evidence, you know, the more likely that we can find the truth, because that's what really practice of law and is about, finding the truth. You know, the word verdict means to speak the truth, and I believe in that. I know that sounds corny, but I do.
That's,
I believe in it.
It's a good thing. It doesn't surprise me about you and the attention to detail you laid out how y'all do this. This is awesome. Tell folks, Ed, how they get in touch with you, because you know what? If they're in that situation or know somebody in that situation, how do they make sure they get in touch with you quickly?
So you could just Google my law firm, Taylor Martino Law Firm, Mobile, Alabama, and you'll find our website, all of our information. You can get in touch with me that way.
All right. So you're out having Mardi Gras fun. Remember, what you do is going to be of record. And this man right here, Ed Rowan, will find you out. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Sean.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.
Miss a show?
No!
No problem. Podcasts of your favorite FM Talk 106.5 shows are waiting for you right now at fmtalk1065.com. And never miss a minute of the best in local talk when you subscribe to FM Talk 106.5 on iTunes or Stitcher.
Why are we in the Delta cold at 5 a.m.?
Jack Green promised me an airboat ride, and this was the only time he had available. Look, look, he's here.
I gotta say, I'm looking forward to this. I've never been in an airboat before.
Oop, don't step there. Remember, I told you that's the unsteady part of the wharf.
The what?
The wall.
Yeah, I don't know what you're saying.
The pieces of wood that you're trying to walk on. Don't step there.
I'm not, but you better get Jack to look at your liability coverage.
Jack, it seems we do need to talk a bit about updating our insurance coverage here at the fish camp.
I thought we were getting ready to take an airboat ride.
Oh, Jack Green is always on call. Tell her, Jack.
I'm always on call.
Jack Green and eNational Insurance can help you save money by lowering your fixed expenses.
Still bringing you the lowest rates around.
Call today for your same-day quote on personal, commercial, and all types of business insurance. Call Jack Green today, 767-6550.